Hello, friends. Welcome to the Seed Pod for Kids. Thank you for joining me today as we spend time with our friend Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the best way to start your day. Let's begin our time together praising Him. This hymn was written by Frances Havergal. She was staying at a house in London, England, and there were 10 other people staying in that house as well. Unfortunately, they did not know Jesus. They were sad and gloomy and angry. They were not happy. Miss Frances felt impressed to pray for them so that they could have the joy that comes from following Jesus. And that's just what she did. She prayed, "Lord, give me all in this house." Did you know that within just a few days, hours before she left, every single one of those people were converted and they gave their lives to Jesus? Oh, she was so happy. She just couldn't sleep. And while she was laying there in her bed, the words to this song came to her. She wanted to recommit her life to Jesus and let Him use her the way that He wanted to. Boys and girls, we talked about last time how Satan was going to do something to try to stop the disciples from telling the world about Jesus. Now, he had already tried by getting the religious leaders to tell them to stop and giving them a beating and throwing them in jail. But did that stop them? No! In fact, an angel came and let them out of jail, and they went right back to the temple to start preaching again. Well, this time, Satan decided to change his tactics. He decided that since that hadn't worked, he was going to try something new. And that something new is what we're going to talk about today. Before we get started, let's pray that God will be with us. Lord, as we study, as we learn, as we spend time together, I ask that You will be with us. Give us Your love and Your care, Your wisdom and Your understanding. Please bless us. Amen. The church in Jerusalem was growing. All kinds of people were choosing to follow Jesus, and many of them were from other countries. These were not just all people from Jerusalem. These were people from all over the world, all over the empire. We can see in Acts chapter 2, verse 5, that that's what it says. So let's go to Acts chapter 2. We've been in Acts a lot this quarter, haven't we? Acts chapter 2. Acts is the fifth book in the New Testament, chapter 2, and then we're going to read verse 5. Acts chapter 2, verse 5. Here's what it says.
And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven.
There were men from every nation under heaven. So that means that there were people from all over, all the different nations of the world, from Greece, from Rome. They were all there in Jerusalem, and they were learning about God. They were being changed. The Holy Spirit was filling them. The Holy Spirit gave the disciples the ability to speak in many different languages. Why would they need to speak in different languages? So that people from different countries could understand. Have you ever tried to speak to somebody in another language? Well, we had some friends that were visiting us, and they speak Spanish. And when the parents were telling the kids what to do and to behave and to shape up, did they tell them in English or did they tell them in Spanish? They told them in Spanish, and those kids shaped right up. Now, I don't understand Spanish very well. I can pick out a few words here and there and get the general idea, but I didn't know exactly what they were saying. Well, in order for the disciples to be able to tell people from different countries about Jesus, they had to be able to speak their language, and that's the power that the Holy Spirit gave them. They could now speak in other languages. On that special day when Peter preached about Jesus, thousands of people believed in him. I want you to look at verse 41. We were just in Acts chapter 2, verse 5. Now we're going to skip down a few verses, actually a lot of verses, to verse 41. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. I have to flip a page, but you might not have to. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Let's see what that says.
Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. In that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them.
So as people received the word, they were baptized. And how many were baptized? What does the Bible say? You're right. 3,000. There were all kinds of people from all kinds of countries. There were old people and young people, rich people, poor people, even widows and orphan children. Have you ever been in a church where there's what they call cultural diversity? It means there's a lot of different people from different cultures that all get together in one church and worship together. I have visited my aunt and my uncle's church in Syracuse, New York. And in Syracuse, New York, they have a very large church, and it is very ethnically diverse. That's basically a fancy way of saying there's many people from many different countries that are there. There are people from Africa, there are Native Americans, there are people from like Jamaica, there are people from the Bahamas, there are people from all over, and they all get together and they all worship. Sometimes they all wear their different cultural dress, the clothes that they would wear in their countries, and it's so interesting, it's so different, and it's a really neat way to worship together. This is the kind of thing that was happening with the people in the apostles' times. They were all coming together. They were learning about Jesus. They were loving Jesus with all of their hearts. And because they did, they loved each other. No one felt more important. No one felt better than anyone else. They were sharing their money, their things, their time. They were completely united. They helped each other in every single way that they could. Look at verse 44, 45, and 46. So we're still in Acts chapter 2, and then we're going to read verse 44, 45, and 46.
Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as everyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart.
It was an exciting time. All these people from different countries, different places in the world, they were all united and working together. Have you ever been to a general conference? I'm guessing most of you have not. A general conference is when every 5 years, people from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, delegates, or people that have been chosen by the church, usually it's in leadership, these people all get together from all over the world. It's not just from somebody in Africa, and it's not just someone in the United States. Everyone from all over the world, from the different churches, send leaders to come and discuss different important topics and to help make decisions for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They vote on things. They might change the wording of things. It's a very, very special time when everyone from all over the world comes together. Well, I had the privilege of being in Atlanta, Georgia. I think it was in, I want to say 2010. I'm pretty sure it was 2010. They all met together in Atlanta, Georgia. And there were so many people. There were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of Seventh-day Adventists from all over the world. As you walked through, there were crowds of people, and they were speaking different languages. There were people from Russia, from Europe. There were people from Africa, from all the different countries, from the different churches, from the different conferences. They were all there, and it was an exciting time. It was a time of prayer and praise, and and unity. And you know what? Do you think that that makes Satan happy or does it make him angry? It makes him angry. And Satan was angry that all of these people in Jerusalem were united together, and so he decided to change tactics. He knew that as long as these people loved Jesus, as long as they shared his love with each other, the church would keep on growing because love is stronger than hate. He wanted to spoil that, and so he decided that what he was going to do to spoil the peace and the happiness of this church was to do something sneaky. Do you know what it was? Well, you'll have to find out next time because we're going to talk about it next time. But until then, when we love each other and when we care for each other, does that make Jesus happy? It does. He is so happy when you treat others the way that you would want to be treated, when you treat others like Jesus would. I want to pray that Jesus will give me love that is stronger than hate so that I can care and love for those around me. What about you? Well, let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Lord, we want to pray for your love. We want to pray for your wisdom, for your kindness. Help us to reach out to those around us and to be kind and loving, even to the kid that is mean to us on the playground, even to the friend who maybe has turned against us. Help us to treat them with kindness and love, even if we are angry or upset. Give us your love and your peace and your care for others. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things be done decently, decently and in order. Let all things be done decently, decently and in order. Let all things be done decently, decently and in order.
The story material used in today's devotional podcast has been used with permission from My Bible First. If you would like your own copy, please visit My Bible First at www.mybiblefirst.org or call 877-242-5317. For more information about this program and others like it, check out the description below.